Going where no lovers roam, welcome to the Pleasure Dome. This is Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and in the following moments, Maximo Park's Paul Smith guests on the feature with No Name. We review new music from Little Boots, Au Revoir Simone, and Mike Posner. But first, we go Gaelic with Phoenix. Listomania by Phoenix, our guest this week. Phoenix, as was discussed on this pod a wee while ago, are just the right side of fashionable. They wear couture and consort with coppolas. Lead singer goes out with Lost in Translation Sophia. They layer synths over their guitars and they also sing softly. But, for all that, they can rock and they can also make you dance. A heady combination and no mistake. Their new album is called Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, and so, when the band were in town recently, it seemed only fair to start by asking them what was going on with all this classical music.
For Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, it's more the idea of vandalism, you know, taking a very beautiful piece of art and putting paint on it. Listomania is, we were fascinated by the fact that he was like the first rock star a very long time ago. We didn't really think about it, but when we saw the, you know, the track listing, we thought there might be a problem, you know, of people thinking it's a concept album. Yeah. Which it really isn't.
You make pop rock, but it has a real sheen to it. It's something that's very well crafted, very well produced, and always sounds pretty.
We work a lot to make things sound the way we hear them in our heads, you know. I'm not sure it's pretty, actually. We try to, when there's something a bit ugly in a sound, you know, in the way a mic captures something, we try to emphasize this. We love the buzz, we love. We worked on the sonic aspect a lot. Mm. For us, it's a song, it comes with a sound, you know. It's a whole thing, you know. And if we have a good song and we are not capable of making it sound right, we change the song, you know.
This idea of Listomania and the idea of the rock star, yeah. How do you see yourselves? Yeah. How do you embrace the idea of the rock star?
The rock star life is very boring, you know. This is a discovery we made very early on. It was a very sad moment when you realize that everything you are fighting for is so boring.
Coke-fueled orgies are boring.
It's boring.
Yeah,
it's very repetitive. But the idea of, you know, loneliness...
And adulation
is
the
very...
The contrast.
There's something beautiful about the life of a lonely rock star, you know. And that's what we liked, the Listomania theme. That's it.
It's kind of getting to the point where people are putting out deluxe editions of the albums that, you know, were made 10 years ago. Are you still close to the people you were close to at that point in time? Are you still part of a group?
Yeah. Well, the group didn't really evolve, you know. It's pretty much the same. Yeah, it's true. It's strange, but the cliché, you know, of a very small group of friends, you know, creating a little scene... This time it's true. It's really a few people, and we all knew each other from
Versailles.
Air, come from Versailles.
Air, they come from the same, exactly the same area.
And Daft Punk, they come from Paris, but we met when we were like 16 or 17. So it's really a little family thing. And we are very close, even if we don't see each other that much.
I mean, obviously, it must have a grounding effect, an insulation against this the lonely life of the rock star when you still have your friends. But has it kept you working? Has it kept you inspired to make new music, having these people that you know and all doing the same thing?
Yeah, there's a feeling of, you know, emulation. Is it a word?
Emulation. Yes.
Emulation is a French
word. To copy in artistic terms.
Yeah. And try to be better than
better than your friends.
Yes.
Yeah. We are really competitive.
We for example, last month we made a listening session with Air. We were listening to their record, and then they were listening to our record.
Whose record came off better?
It was a big fight.
We were the only members of the jury.
So yeah,
it was hard to determine a winner, you know.
Yeah, because I suppose if it was in the UK, you would have somebody go, "No, yours is better." Oh no, yours? No, it's yours. And is that the same for you?
No, we are more in everybody is a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit.
I like that very much. There's always been a sound to your music, to me anyway, that is redolent of the 80s. And what might be called as a genre, soft rock. In the UK, it was really, really popular in the 80s. And then in the 90s, it was widely derided. And now it's coming back into fashion again. But was that the case in France? Was it ever?
No, actually, we never thought about soft rock. The idea is really disgusting.
Uh-huh.
But maybe the thing that makes you think about that is the fact that we have maybe in our head this golden age where, you know, recording techniques were perfect and where, you know, the golden age of analog recording. And maybe it's the way a record should sound, you know, in our mind, you know.
Right. So polished.
Not polished, but, you know, because now it's really easy to do a polished record with modern techniques. But at this time it was a combination, you know, working with analog equipment that is very hard to make sound clean, and, you know, taking it to its limit. This idea of, you know, being as pure as possible within an pure medium, we like that. But we really hate, you know, polished things.
We don't like soft things.
Soft rock, yeah. We never listen to that.
About Love Like a Sunset, which is two songs, my favourite part of the album.
Yeah.
The first part is very short with lyrics, second part purely instrumental. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to create these songs?
The first song we began the album with, we finished the album with this one, so it took like 1 year and a half to do it.
Wow.
It's in the centre of the album. In the album, it's track number 4 and 5. All the other songs are like turning around this one. Yeah, we wanted it to be like the centerpiece of, you know, the album. It's like a long tunnel, you know. In the there's two destinations and a tunnel in the middle.
What's what you were expressing with the absence of lyrics in the second? Because it's the only instrumental in there.
Yeah, it's just abstract and minimalism that we are looking for, something really mystic in a way. I think it's the song I prefer in the album because we still really don't know how to define it, you know, and it's kind of exotic for us. I feel like a stranger to this track, and that's a beautiful feeling for me, for us.
was Christian and Lauren Branko Brankovits out of Phoenix, and Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix is out on May the 25th. Ever thought about becoming French, Rosie Swash?
Me? No way.
No way, man.
I see you're looking at my stripy top.
That was my natural follow-up as evidence of a Gallic tendency. Did you enjoy Camden Court last weekend? You were out at it?
Yes,
it out.
I saw the yeah, which I thought they were excellent because they just did a short, snappy set of the hits playing right to the crowd. And I like bands that play to the crowd.
Any bands you'd never heard of before that caught your eye?
No, I didn't investigate it that much.
You were off duty. Rosie Swash was off duty on Friday. We also have another man of indeterminate nationality with us today. It's Mr. Paul Lester. Hello, Paul. You live near Watford. Is that in England?
Well, I mean, Bushy, actually.
Bushy?
Yeah, Bushy's cool. Bushy's like bohemian. It's like the it's the Blackheath of the north.
I hear you're also a fugitive from justice.
Yeah, it's really annoying, actually, because due to an inability to keep to the national speed limit, I've timed it really badly because I got banned from driving for 5 months, and I've timed it to coincide with the time when you don't want to ever get on public transport.
What, the outbreak of swine flu?
Everybody is about to die.
Panic, yeah. Everybody. So on the downside, everybody could die from swine flu. On the upside, the menace of Paul Lester's been removed from the roads.
I bought an iPhone, though, so at least I get to listen to The Guardian podcast on a regular basis.
Oh, wow,
they come through so seamlessly.
Oh, Paul, you make me feel so happy. Let's start some singles club, shall we? We're going to start with Little Boots, and this is New in Town. By Little Boots. Little Boots, aka Blackpool's Victoria Hesketh, was tipped as the sound of 2009 by The Guardian, the BBC, the NME, and, more controversially, Al-Qaeda. This track is taken from the soon-to-be-released debut album Hands, the first part of Boots' trilogy about bodily extremities, that will also take in feet and, ultimately, nose. Paul Lester.
Yeah, I think she's going to be big. I think we can safely say. But it's weird because she sort of comes from our side and it appears that she's going to be going over to their side. By that I mean, like, she's one of those people that gets written about very excitedly in the music press long before they exist in the mainstream. And those kind of people never really happen. But with LaRue's success, it would appear that actually, no, these things are going on. Yeah, it's an exciting time. And what I'm sort of excited about with Little Boots is that she's somebody that can do a Kylie song, but she's probably heard loads of krautrock records as well, and so there's an opportunity in 2 albums time for her to bring into the mainstream sort of more weird and experimental ideas.
I think you're being very diplomatic. Maybe you don't even know you're doing it. It's not that I'm not a fan. I think that point you make about her crossing from one side to the other,
yeah,
I would say from light to dark almost, and that this stuff that she's doing right now is incredibly poppy.
Yeah,
and a lot more so than the stuff that was exciting people when they were hearing the apparent bedroom demos.
Yeah, you get a sense that she could have done an album that was way, way further over towards the left field, and that this is something that she's doing to make a point or to become the successful pop star that she wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite like the idea of that. I like the idea of somebody that is almost like being a double agent. It remains to be seen whether the success will have ground her down or have made her into a person that she can no longer escape from being. But, you know, there's some great stuff on. And I'm particularly excited by the Phil Oakey duet.
There's a Phil Oakey
yeah,
duet.
Yeah, funny enough. Yeah, there
wow.
is. A, yeah, which is great because apart from the fact that, you know, on that Juan McLean album, I don't know if you've heard that Juan McLean album, that sounds just like Phil Oakey. And I thought, well, Phil Oakey's made a comeback. He's made an album. He hadn't, but he has actually made a comeback on the Little Boots album. And it's a great meeting of 81 synth pop and 2009 synth pop. And the Originator and the Human League were kind of like the ABBA of synth pop. And they've got the Benny and Bjorn to appear on this album or something. And it's all very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Because we tend to listen to all this synth pop and try and listen to the credible edge of it, but then we can all go back and listen to Human League.
Well, everyone says Kraftwerk are the other... Well, the Kraftwerk are kind of like the Chuck Berry, but the Human League with the Beatles, they were the ones that sort of made it very popular in this country. They sort of turned it into a Woolworths thing, particularly the album Dare. And I guess Little Boots wants this to be the Dare of 2009. What do you think, Rose? Do you think it will be the Dare of 2009?
Well, it certainly looks that way. Malik Mir of The Guide assures me that they're playing it non-stop on the Chris Moyles show. Not that I would know, because of course I don't listen. I'm not surprised at all by the album. It's just big, banging, power pop, and it's so accessible. I mean, it's not really far away from what she was doing before. Stuck on Repeat, her version of it, as opposed to Joe Goddard remix, is quite similar to the stuff that's on the album. And she was doing a lot of covers of other people's stuff, which is kind of, you know, her way of saying, I'm just like everybody else. There's nothing on this album that's like at all suggests that that's changed. I think it will be a stepping stone for her. It sounds a bit like maybe Xenomania or something like that, but she is writing all this stuff herself, and that is very unusual in a modern pop star making this kind of pop.
That's a very good point. I actually feel like it's been almost a tortuous gestation, because you think that she was getting front covers.
I know, that's quite unusual.
In November, December, it actually reminds me of Suede in a way, that there's been more pre-hype and more pre-coverage, because this would be her first official release as a single. You know, there were sort of independent releases, weren't they, very much under the radar. Mm. But yeah, the cover of The Guardian Weekend, which is the sort of accolade that only people that have been to number one normally
get. Pet Shop Boys.
Or the Pet Shop Boys, yeah. Well, she's the Pet Shop Girl. This will get to number one because LaRue's number two. This has got to be number one, and the album will then be top five. I think that will be what she does thereafter. She may tentatively make steps towards experimenting maybe on the second album. But pop is a great place to do interesting things. I hope she doesn't think that there's any shame in being a big successful pop star. I don't think there is. It's a great thing to aspire to be.
Hopeful message. Paul Lester.
It's almost like, I should have said that for Christmas. It should have been a goodwill message for all mankind.
The good thing is it's been recorded. We can just clip it out and put it on the show.
Like most of what I've said today.
Years. Well, that is New In Town by Little Boots, and that's out on May the 25th. Hands, the album, is out on June the 2nd. Next on Singles Club, it's Au Revoir, Simone and Shadows. Simone. I really do have a problem pronouncing that word. Au Revoir, Simone, are Erica Forster, Annie Hart, and Heather D'Angelo. They hail from Brooklyn, surprise, and they make touching lo-fi electro-pop. Their name, however, is something of a mystery. Translated from the original French, it means by the banks of the River Simon. Rosie.
Oh, the River Simon.
Yeah.
What a river.
I know it is. It brings up really strong memories, even for me. I've never been there.
I have to say that this is not my favourite track from their new album, Still Night, Still Light, but it is the one that you can hear in the MySpace, so it seemed fair to pick it. Their first album, I think it was 2005, and it was called Verses of Comfort, Assurance and Salvation, which I thought is a fantastic title, even though they went on to then say, no, that's not our first album, we're going to start again with something else. It was a great album, and it sums up what I like so much about what they do, which is very simple. It's just synths, a bit of harmony and light girly vocals, arpeggios and tinny beats. And that's it. But they do it so well. They've got a really, you know, their chords changes always come at the right time and all that sort of stuff. And I think there's something really warm about their music, and there's something quite dark about it at the same time, in exactly equal measures. So you feel as uneasy as you do sort of enjoy listening to it. I think they're a great band. They make really understated, lovely songs like this, and I've yet to discover why it was that they disowned their first album, which is by far the best one they ever did.
I also know a lot of people who have been really wowed by them live.
You know, they don't fall apart live. I think that might be maybe
something
more of a male reaction.
Somebody did it with them all being hot. Paul Lester, what's your take on this track in particular?
Well, it sounds like one of those sort of C86 groups doing techno. So you knew when you said it had a warm sound, it was, and I never know the difference between analog and digital, but that sounds to me like a group making a techno record using a sort of a fairground organ or something. So it sounds kind of creepy and weird, but it's got that sort of propulsion, that sort of almost motoric, rhythmic pulse to it, and it keeps moving along, but produced in that DIY cheapo fashion. And so it's quite a nice balance between the two things. I like those, though. I was a sucker for that under-singing. You know, in this world of X Factor, sort of melismas and grandiose theatricality, I love women that barely bother to open their mouth. I think it's a great thing. And, you know, the same for men as well. I hate passion. I really a big loathing for anything.
So you like disaffection.
I hate, yeah, I hate Otis Redding. Anybody that doesn't sound like, I know that's kind of like,
I think you're just being deliberately counterintuitive here, because I can't stand it. That's what I don't like. The more I listen to it, the more I find it really urgent and powerful in that. I just think the melody goes like that. It's like a heart attack
flatlining victim.
Yeah, really? After they've kind of given up on the CPR.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of that.
Big fan of that. Yeah, it just, no, it leaves me cold. Yeah, I want somebody to invest some emotion in what they're doing.
But the emotion's in the ear of the beholder, isn't it? I mean, you know, for me, Bernard Sumner is a great singer. But yeah, he barely makes any effort to do that. Whereas somebody
or
like
some
Bono,
can't
oh
sing.
My God, like, you know, Bono is all about emotion and passion, but it leaves me completely cold.
Yeah, I felt more able to stand behind Otis Redding when you cited him as a passion. And Bono, that is Shadows by Au Revoir Simone, and it can be heard right now on their MySpace. The third album, as Rosie said, Still Night, Still Light. It's out on May the 19th. Final track on Singles Club this week is Drug Dealer Girl by Mike Posner. Mike Posner with Drug Dealer Girl. Mike Posner is a student at Duke University and a hip-hop producer in the Michigan area. He's also making a debut LP. Of more interest, however, is the identity of his drug dealer girl. Current speculation suggests that it's Peggy from Out of Mad Men or Home Secretary Jackie Smith. My choice. I think this track is a pastiche that is something quite cool in its own right. It's quite Justin Timberlake-y stuff, particularly in the vocals. I like the smoky tinge to the way he sings, although it's a lot more lackadaisical. I think it's got that Kanye-ish poppy synth take on hip-hop. I think it's quite a happy tune. I think the chorus is quite euphoric. I love the little coda at the end. It has this little refrain that kind of edges out and then comes back in for one last little burst, and it reminds me also of your Marauder style 80s synth references. The thing that made it stand out for me, aside from that combination musically, was I think the lyrics are really interesting. I suspect they've probably been written with an ironic veneer, and that there might actually be a sneer behind what's going on, or some kind of lackadaisical comedy. But I listen to it and like to imagine it straight, that it is some kind of low-life guy who smoking drugs is a central part of his life and therefore can imagine a bond with his drug dealer, and that's a situation which he finds himself comfortable. And I quite like that. It's almost, I convince myself, that there are elements of it that's a little Raymond Carver-esque.
Blimey.
Not too pretentious. Hey, Rosie.
I don't really like it.
Uh-huh.
I looked around at some stuff that was online for him, and I can't really figure his thing out. He's got this live clip of him covering Beyoncé's Halo, and I don't know whether that's that is in itself an ironic thing that he's doing in an effort to not be kind of dismissed in the way that I guess Daniel Merriweather has or someone like that, as just trying to be like white boy soul. He's done this song that's a bit like, okay, and it's kind of maybe in the vein of Gym Class Heroes or even Chromeo or something like that. But for me, the joke runs out quite quickly and it felt a little unfresh. I preferred some of the other stuff of his that I listened to.
Do you think it's a skit and do you think there's not...
Well, it's like this. He's just riffing on, first of all, the girl's not very attractive, but she turns him on because she's a drug dealer. So it's like all the ways in which you can rhyme about drug paraphernalia and getting a girl into bed, and for me it just sort of runs out quite quickly.
Paul Lester.
Well, I share your confusion. I wasn't really sure if it was, in the same way I'm a little bit bemused by Asher Roth. You know, is Asher Roth, is it a joke? Is he straight? And if it is a joke, for enough Asher Roth case, what's he joking about? And this chap seems to be slightly more explicitly kind of comical, as if that is what he's setting out to do, which is to sort of be an ironic commentator on hip hop and the culture, which would be good if he was able to, like Chromeo, do with funk, the 80s funk. If he was to do that with that aspect of hip-hop culture that sees as ripe for parodying, then good on him. I didn't play enough of the other stuff online that I saw in his MySpace to sort of draw that conclusion.
That indeed was Mike Posner, and you can listen to his full oeuvre on his MySpace right now. On the blog, there was quite a bit of talk about last week's tracks. Derek D, who Rosie established was not disgraced Labour activist Derek Draper, he wrote, "Dizzy Rascal, Jarvis and Graham's tracks all sounded rubbish to me." So thanks, Draper. He's got a bit of time from your Labour-based website to come on and put that sort of stuff on our site.
SVAT wrote of Stuart Maddox's new project, "God Help the Girl, my position on Belen Sebastian overlaps almost entirely with that of Stephen Wells. But Come Monday Night is a huge improvement on anything Stuart Maddox has done before. There is a darkness to it, but stripped of its horrific vocals and shambling indie folk arrangements, it registers more as a rather beautiful sadness and quiet resignation than the usual navel-gazing self-pity. It's reminiscent of Dusty Springfield and the wonderful Swedish group Raymond Och Maria, and I'd also argue that Carpenters are one of the darkest multi-million selling acts in the history of popular music."
He does know about his stuff, doesn't he, SV80, although Raymond Och Maria, it's a good name. Wonder if it's Ida Maria's brother. We want your reviews of this week's tracks. Our Simone, Little Boots and Mike Posner on our blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Opine on those tunes and these others that are out to buy next week. Empire of the Sun. We are the people.
Whatever happened to truth? Lost without a trace.
Gary Go, Open Arms.
Whatever happened to the mirror that showed me a happy face?
Mastodon, Oblivion.
No sympathy when shouting out is all you know.
Daniel Merriweather, Red. All right, that's it for this week's Singles Club. Next up, a very special feature with no name. That was Apply Some Pressure by Maximo Park, the band responsible for this week's feature with no name. To be more specific, it's Paul Smith, the all-thinking, all-dancing, all-bowler-hat-wearing lead singer, who now shares his passion with you, the listener, for the English folk singer Anne Briggs.
Come all you fair and tender girls that flourish in your prime, prime. Beware if you're good and fair. Let no man steal your time, time. Let no man steal your time.
That was the voice of Anne Briggs there, and I first came across Anne Briggs as a result of an interest that I had in finger-picked guitar and folk guitar, and Bert Jansch, who's fairly well known now out of the 60s folk movement and explosion in Britain. I suppose he was quite good friends with Anne Briggs. I don't know whether they had an affair or not. I think that's intimated in the things that I've read, and that sort of stemmed out of hearing Nick Drake, and Anne Briggs's voice was something that once I'd heard it, it had a kind of purity, like a stream in the countryside, you know, when you see that really pure water just rolling over rocks, and it's a very free kind of image that I have when I listen to her sing.
One morning fair to take the air down by black water side. 'Twas in gazing all around me. 'Twas the Irish Irish lad I spied.
Blackwaterside is a song that I guess Led Zeppelin ripped off, and that's kind of one of the effects that the folk explosion that Anne Briggs was involved in, if we can call it an explosion, it kind of rippled through into other genres. And again, I think it's the stylings and the tunings and the way that she moves her voice around, and it's almost like a guitar, it's like an instrument to me.
Sleeping in my bed, dreams run through my head, I dream.
There isn't any barrier here, it's just really pure. And I think you can probably hear that in the generation of singers like Cat Power and Bonnie Prince Billy and Joanna Newsom as well, Marissa Nadler. All these names, I think they've taken inspiration from this kind of purity, and people like Karen Dalton in America, which again would probably be even more relevant to those people. But when we first started out, I remember people would say, "You're singing in your own accent, it's sounds a bit weird." And I would say, I'd never really sung in front of anybody before, and when you're singing something that's personal to you, it makes sense to be as direct as possible. I don't know whether I'd ever have the bravery to sing a cappella like Anne Briggs, but you can hear a Nottinghamshire accent coming through, and I think it's very beautiful.
Your dreams among my dreams, our blue seas among sunbeams, shades of yellow, shades of green.
That was Paul Smith of Maximo Park. The band's third album, Quick in the Heart, is out on May the 15th, and there's a series of sold-out dates to accompany it. All right, then, go back to the blog. Go back there right now to tell us what you think about Phoenix and Maximo Park. The address is guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. But that is all for this week. We'll be back next Friday. Register now to get the podcast sent straight to your computer via the internet, or your MP3 player via your computer via the internet for free. You can find out how at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. That's all for this week, though. Thank you so much to French Rosie Swash.
You're very welcome. Not saying it in French.
We'll be back next week. Au revoir.